welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guest for today is Adam Putterman, co-founder of Ours, a Houston-based tech startup focused on optimizing and destigmatizing couples counseling. Adam joins me today to discuss the virtual therapy platform and its recently closed fundraising round, which was supported by big-name investors, including Serena Williams. We also discuss how the company manages its fully remote team and how it's hiring and looking to grow and expand. Adam, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm excited to learn more about your company, which has such a fascinating story and background and so much potential in the field. So let's just start with that. You know, tell me about Ours and where the idea came from.
Yeah. So Ours is a modern relationship health company. Right now, we're focused on sort of reinventing couples counseling and premarital counseling and just relationship health in general. I started the company with two co-founders, and all of us kind of came about or found this space in a different way. So I'll share my kind of origin story there, but I can also touch on theirs a little bit as well. For me, I first became interested in this space in 2017, 2018. I had just gotten married to my now wife. We had met in college, so we've been together a long time, but we finally had the wedding in 2017. And then shortly after that, a professor at the school I was at grad school, released a book on sort of the state of relationships and marriage today and all of the research and studies that had gone into them and how they were different than they've ever before been in the past. And I think the headline was that the best relationships today are better than they've ever been before, but that the average relationship today is worse because we have so much higher expectations than ever before, but so much fewer support systems and ways to invest in your relationships. And having just gotten married, I was kind of enthralled by the book and all the research and the science in this field that I'd never heard of. You know, this was something that was so important to me. And so top of mind. And yet I had no clue that there was an entire field of study and research into healthy relationships. So I just became fascinated by it then. And I started doing some research. I ended up interviewing, I think, a little bit over 100 couples in that first month or so. And the most fascinating thing I found is that the majority of them, or almost half of them, were either in couples counseling or looking to go to couples counseling or had previously been. And that was kind of like a huge shock for me at the time because I had this very stigmatized, stereotypical view of couples counseling as being something that was done rarely and to address a problem. And what I was seeing was that it was something that was done proactively and that people were really enjoying and, more importantly, getting just incredible value from. And shortly after that is when I met my two co-founders, Jess and Liz, who were working on similar things. And we decided to kind of join forces. Jess was working on specifically inventing and kind of building a new sort of relationship health brand with a focus on the counseling side and really the human touch of the experience. And then Liz, our other co-founder, is one of the best couples therapists in the world. She's been doing it for over a decade and just has a really, really strong clinical and branding and insight into the whole space.
I think that's so interesting because I feel like people have addressed counseling and therapy for years of with this mindset of like, don't fix anything that's not broken, which is just not how you approach literally anything else. I don't feel like it's about maintenance, right? So, and maintaining, there's always room for improvement and that kind of mentality. So do you feel like in society that's shifting? Obviously it needs to shift, but have you actually seen it, like perception of therapy and counseling shift? And is that making a prime opportunity for this type of business?
Yeah, I think you nailed two things there. One is that proactive and preventative is always better. It's easier to do and it's more impactful. And that's one of the reasons why right now we're focused on premarital counseling, really like one of the happiest, earliest moments in any relationship, right? And the second part is, I would totally agree with, we've seen a massive shift in the perception of counseling, therapy, and more importantly, all the aspects of health that are not just your body, right? It's no longer, I'm just going to go to the gym. It's, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to get coaching for my professional field. And what we found is that people are taking that mindset and applying it to their relationships as well. And they're saying, if this is going to be the biggest driver of my health and happiness, how could I not invest in it?
So let's talk about the logistics of the company and how exactly the platform works at this point. How can users optimize the facilities?
Yeah. So right now it's a hybrid experience. Everything's virtual. It's 100% virtual. What happens is you sign up. It's a 4 to 6 week experience. We've really focused on making this a clear experience with a start and a finish to really remove a bunch of the ambiguity that kind of has historically been associated with this type of experience. You come in, you do an assessment so that we can learn a little bit more about your relationship and more importantly, your goals and where you want to go together. Then you meet with one of our guides for 45 minutes to an hour for a sort of exploratory conversation to refine those goals, learn a little bit more about you, provide some insight and learnings. And then based on that, your guide creates a personalized 4 week experience for you. So it's typically 4 sessions. Each session, the sessions that you get are going to be different depending on what you're looking for. So one couple may get a session on finances, another may get a session on parenting, another on communication and listening. These sessions are typically about an hour long. They're done on our platform, which we call Loveware, which is custom platform we built specifically for these type of experiences. And in these sessions, typically what you'll see is a guide like Liz, my co-founder, who will explain a concept in about like a minute or two, something like emotional bids, if you're familiar with that. And then what she'll do is prompt you and your partner to go through an exercise. So you might start by journaling for 5 minutes, how you've seen that concept in your past. And then they'll walk you through a guided exercise with your partner, like a conversation that you'll have right then. And then you wrap up the experience by meeting again with your guide. They're really at the center of the whole experience. So even though you're doing so much of it on these asynchronous or through these asynchronous sessions, they're kind of there throughout giving you challenges, answering questions, making sure everything's going right. And then right now that's where it stops. The thing we'll roll out most likely later this year is what comes next, which is a little bit of what you mentioned around maintenance mode and starting to address other big life stages. So not just premarital, but moving in together, or deciding to have a child or buying a house or really every major moment that a couple goes through, we want to be there for them.
Do you have, my next question was really going to be like, how do you plan on expanding? So you're thinking kind of the full relationship start to finish type counseling. Do you feel like there's other opportunities in other types of mental health counseling for ours?
Yeah. So right now we're really focused on couples just because there's so much opportunity there and so little support. But from a vision perspective, where we hope to be years from now is really helping you build all of your closest relationships. So not just with your partner, but maybe with a parent or a sibling or a best friend, or we get a ton of requests for business colleagues, like co-founder relationships. But really what we're building is the platform and the space and the approach for you to invest in your closest relationships, regardless of what that relationship is.
I can see kind of the transition from romantic partner to business partner, like that is probably more similar than it is different, like the trust you have to have and everything. So that's really interesting. So one thing I want to talk to you about, since I know you have a background in business consulting, you know, how has that prepared you for this and what other ways has it, you know, been enlightening, let's say, starting this company?
Yeah, I think the shift to the startup world is always more extreme than you expect it to be. In general, I think the best thing that consulting prepares you for is communication and speed of research, which are very important in our space. Everything we do in many ways is just communication and guidance, right? It's not a physical product. A lot of what we're doing is just creating a moment and a space and time and trying to communicate an important lesson or concept or walk a couple through an important moment. And a lot of that is the same way that you would walk a client through an important project or something like that.
So something, because you mentioned having these guides to connect people with, how are you tapping into experts to bring on that onto the platform? And is this an opportunity where counselors and therapists can get involved?
Yeah, 100%. Always. We're looking for people that are passionate about relationships, have extensive and ideally specialized training in couples work, and really want to kind of expand and grow the movement around relationship health.
Yeah. How has virtual therapy and counseling changed over the past few years? I know the pandemic really opened some doors for growth and adoption of that, but is that something you closely watched when starting ours?
Yeah, I think that the biggest effects we've seen is just more desire and willingness to do things virtually. I think people always struggled, particularly in our space, with managing three calendars, right? Like you have to have three people find time and space to kind of meet up. And that's incredibly difficult, particularly if both people are working or just with everything that life throws at you. It turned out to be a huge problem for people. And what we saw over the last few years is that people tried out doing this virtually for the first time, and they found that they can get the same effect without anywhere near as much of the logistical challenges. So that's really been kind of a cornerstone of our approach. And it's been really nice to see people lean into it more and more.
I feel like it also lessens the barrier of entry too. Like if you're like nervous about it, you're like, well, it's just opening my computer and, you know, logging on. It's not having to physically psych yourself up to going somewhere.
I think you're totally right. So much of what we talk about is about accessibility and destigmatization. And because when people work, when they sign up for hours or they do really anything in this space, they love it. And it's impactful. It's incredibly impactful. So all we have to do is make that first step a little bit easier. And it's amazing how much easier it is to just like log into a Zoom than it is to do everything you need to find someone in person, drive there, schedule it, show up, and everything that comes along with that.
So I know ours has raised some money recently. I want to talk about that process. But something that I think is so interesting is I know the company kind of got its start in 2019, but only just recently emerged from stealth. So I want to know what that process was like building this company, but not actually, you know, launching it publicly yet.
Yeah, I think that given the nature of our space, we are so, so incredibly focused on doing right by the couples that we work with, that it was very important to us to launch and go public when things were great for couples and not when we wanted to. And it took a lot of time to make sure that we had the right fit of this is something people want and will pay for and will tell all their friends about, but also that is going to do right by their relationship and be incredibly impactful to them. And at the same time, kind of building some of the tools and the platform that did not exist to make that happen. Just took a ton of time. And now, luckily, we're in a spot where we have an experience and a product that we're really proud of. People are really, really loving and are borderline obsessed with, which is great. It feels good to be out there now. We only recently kind of officially launched, but we had a long period in like paid beta mode, and it was incredibly helpful.
That's so interesting. I feel like it must be challenging, but also nice to have that time to really flesh out the product. And obviously during that process also raised some money to continue that growth and development. So I think you raised both your pre-seed and seed during this stealth period. So what was that process like? What was some of the feedback you got from some of your investors, which definitely have some familiar names too? So that's pretty cool. But yeah, what was that like?
Yeah, I think we've been so lucky to really build a group of incredible investors that one are just 100% bought into the mission of what we're trying to do and understand the importance of what we're trying to do. And then two are just incredibly helpful. We have just a wealth of information and insight and support from them that has been incredibly impactful to the business. And that's awesome. In terms of what the process is like, I think that similar to our business and what we do, we were very lucky to fundraise during the first time in history that doing so virtually was possible. And instead of having to go fly to San Francisco and book 2 weeks worth of meetings and have no time to incorporate feedback or really anything like that, we could do everything over Zoom. We could tear it out and really own the process ourselves. And my co-founder, Jess, is the one that really led that for us. And she just did a phenomenal job. It honestly was a really fun experience. And I feel very grateful and lucky for the team we have behind us now.
I think it's super cool. And I remember reading the press release and writing the story about emerging from stealth. And just seeing Serena Ventures and Serena Williams like talking about this product and being like, the Serena Williams? Are you like it for sure? Like her? Really? So that's really cool. And I wonder if you have any like, stories about how that partnership came about.
Yeah. They're just Serena Ventures in general is just an incredible firm. They have a ton of insight. I really love their mission around making everyday life better for everyday people. And it was just a quick and close fit, you know, what we're trying to do and what they're trying to do just really aligned. And they've been incredibly helpful and accessible from day one and just great partners. No like crazy story other than that it's just a great firm with great people and we feel great to have them on our side.
Yeah, I did look into her whole firm and her portfolio and I was, or the Serena Ventures in general portfolio. And there were some really cool companies in there. So that's also cool to get to be a part of that. But yeah, I want to talk about something you mentioned just during the fundraising process of this new virtual world. Obviously the product itself is virtual, but your team is virtual and remote. So how has that been? I know it's something a lot of startups are either intentionally or unintentionally migrating to. So what's it like, you know, the challenges and the opportunities having a remote workforce?
Yeah, I think this is something we think a lot about almost on a weekly basis. And I think it's one of those very stereotypical both sides of the coin situations where it's the biggest challenge and the biggest opportunity is all around communication. We found that by intentionally being remote, it's forced us to have a very robust and intentional, to use the word again, system of how we communicate on the team. We have a very writing first culture where we use long form writing and memos that anyone can access to make sure that we're all kind of rowing the same direction. And everyone's on the same page and that we have a long history of decisions. And if we weren't remote, I think it's too easy to just kind of turn to the person next to you and be like, we're doing this. And then a month later, you kind of have forgotten why you're doing it or what other options you've considered and things like that. On the flip side, being remote, one just has incredible logistical challenges and overhead of dealing with multiple states and technology. You know, you need Zoom and you need all these things. To be working seamlessly in a way that you wouldn't otherwise. And then two, it's just very easy to become misaligned. So if you when you let the kind of systems and processes you have set up around communication slip, it kind of turns into a problem very fast. But the part that's most fun, I think, is that it's made us be intentional and start working on culture much earlier. And that's led to like a really fun working environment and a place that's just great to work at.
I think, you know, usually it's at this point of the podcast where I ask about like the role Houston plays in a company, but you might have a very different kind of approach because obviously the company's based here, you're based here, but fully remote team. So how do you see Houston factoring into that equation, if at all?
Yeah, I love it here. I grew up here, my family's here, and I've been able to build a really great set of mentors and peers in the city that have just been incredibly helpful. So I think the biggest way that Houston plays a role in the company right now is just with mentorship and just having a really great set of peers to kind of go through this journey together. But we're also looking to hire, and I want to hire some people from Houston. So I'm hoping we can kind of grow our presence here.
Well, that kind of leads into my next question too, which is just, you know, you've gotten to emerge from stealth, you have the platform and you have the funding. What's on your radar now for next stage immediately? And then, you know, over the next few years for the company?
Yeah, I think in the short term, we're really focused on building the team and bringing ours to more people. And that's really the all we'll focus on in the short term. Over the next few years, we really want to expand the time and trust that we have with a couple. We want to have, like you said earlier, maintenance mode. We want to have different life stages, and we want to be there for every step of a couple's relationship, as opposed to right now where we're just there for that one crucial moment.
Now, something else that comes to my mind, talking about ours, is that, you know, it is, you've used the word intentional a lot, and you've talked about helping these couples. And I think it's cool that we're in this impact company space now. I feel like that's growing. Like, you have a very impactful mission, you know, but you're a for-profit company. So I just wonder how that factors in, you know, if there are companies you look to as an example for towing this line between, you know, doing good and, you know, making that profit.
It's a great point. I don't know if there's a kind of like a large company that comes to mind. I think, at least for me, early on, I had a few really impactful experiences working for both nonprofits and mission-driven startups that I just really, really enjoyed, and was able to see the impact that they were both able to have. And it just feels like I just feel very lucky to be able to work in a space where we get to do both.
Yeah, I think it's just cool to see, and there's money being, you know, invested in these types of companies too. So it's that validation that you can do good, make an impact, and still, you know, appease the investors and that bottom line.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That is what we're doing and hope to do more of.
Yeah, absolutely. More of that in the world. Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I've learned so much about ours, and I can't wait to see what comes next and as you develop this technology and this team.
Same. Thank you for having me. This was fun to chat.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.